Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Byrne.
Clive, I gave you this little task because I thought it was simple, uncomplicated and undemanding. Everything about it seemed to say, Clive.
Yes, well, what's the problem?
Not even Clive, I said to myself, could make a pig's ear of this. How sadly I underestimated your powers. How carelessly I must have skimmed your CV. With what abandon I overlooked the admission that you were the pig's ear-making champion of Southeast England 6 years running.
I can explain.
No, Clive, you can't. Pig's ears, yes. Dog's breakfast, certainly, madam. Landing face first in the poo, it'll be a pleasure. But explain, no. No, explaining is not on your agenda. It's not part of the deoxyribonucleic cock-up that is Clive. Clive, what did I ask you to do?
You asked me to come into your office.
And I thought you did that rather well. It was a promising start.
You introduced me to a chap. You said, this gentleman is the European Commissioner for Luxembourg. He is an extremely distinguished diplomat. He has an evening to spare before a summit meeting tomorrow, and he wishes to see the real London.
That's what I said.
And then you took me outside and said, look, I take it by real London, he means proles. Proles are more your territory than mine. Take him out for the evening and show him some proles. So I did. I was only doing what you told me.
I didn't tell you to take him to bingo at the Plasto Victoria.
The bingo. He had a great time at the bingo.
All right, we will pass lightly over the bingo. What happened next?
Well, I may have made an error of judgment. I took him on a pub crawl of Canning Town. Well, you said to show him real London, show him it's not all Covent Garden and Shaftesbury Avenue. He loved it. Well, to start with, everything went fine till we decided we'd have a quick one in the British flag and fascist up the pole in a balloon.
Ah, morning, Charles. Morning, young thing. Have you seen the papers, Charles?
I have that joy to come.
Then listen to this.
Martin, I'm in the middle of remonstrating with young Clive.
No, listen. A senior European diplomat was arrested last night following a disturbance at an East End pub. Monsieur Jacques Robillard angered regulars at the British flag when he seized the microphone during their Tuesday karaoke night and insisted on singing, I'm in love with rude lubas. Now, where's the Sun?
Martin, I'm busy.
No, they actually print the words. Listen. Lubbers, when I think of you, I blubbers. Whilst I don't mean to be crude, to erase my love for rude would need a lot of rubbers. The performance angered locals and fighting started. When challenged by police, the diplomat declared, clickety-clit, I'm going to be sick. The chap that you introduced me to yesterday?
Yes, it was.
You asked if I felt like taking him to Walthamstow Dogs. I said I'd love to, but I was up to my neck in watching television.
Yes. And I entrusted him to the tender mercies of young Clive.
Oh, I see. Oh, dear. Well, accidents happen.
Martin, this is a gross neglect of professional duty.
Yes, on one level, I suppose so, but I can't help feeling that getting Brussels bureaucrats arrested is an act of public service, really.
Clive deserves a severe reprimand.
Or possibly a performance bonus.
Clive, I wish to talk to the senior partner. I have not forgotten this incident. I'm merely trying to decide between thumbscrew and rack.
Okay, then. What shall I work on next?
Oh, good grief. I shudder to think. Go and practice elementary coffee making.
I'll find you a bit of work. There must be something in my pending tray.
You know, they ought to include your pending tray in the Grand National. And as they cross the Melling Road, they're coming to Martin's pending tray. When was the last time you went through this monument to human idleness?
Yeah, I'm sure it was this year. Now, this is rather interesting. I almost did something about this myself. The Association of British Estate Agents. They want an image relaunch. They want people to love them. Have a go at that. It'll keep you busy.
Right.
All ideas to me. Nothing goes to the client until I've seen it. Understood?
No, yeah. No, of course not. And may I say...
Cut!
Right.
Martin, you really shouldn't interfere when I'm trying to discipline the junior staff.
Oh, all right, Charles. It's not really that serious, is it? Anyway, we're only doing Downing Street a favour. Damn it, we're supposed to be spending our lives dealing at the highest levels of politics and industry. We're not London tourist guides.
Well, no, there is that, I suppose.
It was entirely appropriate of you to assign the most junior member of the organisation to the task and hope for the best.
Yes, a triumph of hope over experience in Clive's case.
So, what's on the agenda today?
The pending tray, possibly?
Sorry to bother you, but there's somebody here to see you. He says he hasn't got an appointment.
Who is it and how much money has he got?
Well, shall I show him in, or are you too busy?
Well, Martin could see him.
Oh, no, I'm snowed under, Charles.
Oh, very well.
Would you come this way?
Thank you, Clive. Go and practice the right way to sit on a chair, why don't you?
Jeremy Lewis, I represent men.
What, all of them?
Well, yes.
Well, that's odd. Last time I looked, I think I qualified, and I don't think I've paid a subscription.
I represent the first pressure group of its kind set up to promote the interests of men. Mr. Prentice, don't you think this is a very difficult time to be a man?
No. What do you think, Martin?
Are you asking Prentice McCabe to act on behalf of an entire gender?
Yes.
Ah.
Martin, may I have a word? Would you, excuse us? Martin, when a potential new client comes to this office, you do not stand behind him with a sign saying, loony warning.
Well, he is.
Well, we don't know that yet.
I'll bet you anything you like, he'll talk at you for 2 hours and you'll sit there thinking, loony.
We'll sit there?
No, we won't. I'm going to my club.
You do no such thing.
I'm going to work in the smoking room of my club. You may join me, and I'm prepared to guarantee it won't be for at least 2 hours. Lunch and an Armagnac if he's not a loony. Clive, get a removal and send my pending tray round to the club.
Right away.
One hour, 59 minutes, and Charles. Do sit down, old chap. You must be exhausted.
Indeed, I am. With the sheer mental effort of deciding where you're taking me to lunch.
You mean he wasn't mad?
By no means. He spoke admittedly at some length, but by the end I thought, there really is a problem. A problem to which the skills of Prentice McCabe are particularly suited.
So what does this chap actually want?
Well, ultimately, he wants a ministry for men.
Oh, for pity's sake. I knew it the minute I saw him. A loony, a saddo, and a weedy, weedy wimp. Ministry for men.
Well, why not? There's a ministry for women.
I knew it as soon as I clapped eyes on him. My name is Jeremy, he says. Now, why didn't that surprise me? I bet he was the kind of chap who never showed up for rugby.
What?
Well, you know the type. Every school had one. The rest of us up to our necks in mud, and Jeremy can't play because he's got a barouca. But his classmates used to call him Wimpy Jeremy, the barouca kid.
Your claret, monsieur.
I'll spin it. Thank you, Maurice.
Maurice, monsieur.
Maurice, one man may have the sheen of a gleaming star, whilst the lean and the mean must clean the bar. Go and clean the bar, Maurice.
Oui, monsieur.
Anyway, you will concede that there is a problem. In a way, it's exactly what you've been saying. You don't hear pressure groups and activists banging on about men's rights. It's not done.
Well, I should think not.
So how do you present a pressure group for men? How do you give men an image relaunch? It's a conundrum, and it's a challenge for Prentice McCabe.
I suppose so. Frankly, I'd rather be doing an image relaunch for the Rookers.
I first began to think seriously about men and who we are when my wife left me.
Did she? That's difficult to believe.
She said I was doing her head in.
Remarkable. I'd have thought the source of her discomfort was a bit lower.
Martin! you must forgive my colleague. He has trouble with his aggressive impulses.
No, I don't have trouble with my aggressive impulses. I like my aggressive impulses.
Do, please, go on, Jeremy.
Well, I really tried to be caring and in touch with my emotions and sensitive.
Oh, hell's bells.
Martin, you are being particularly Neanderthal.
It is not Neanderthal. It's good plain common sense. For pity's sake, Charles, what kind of idiot hears a woman say she wants a man to be caring, emotional and sensitive and believes it? Have you ever met a woman who really, honestly wanted a man to be anything other than a bloke? You know, I used to have a T-shirt that said, women prefer beer guts.
Put that away, Martin. This is not a football match.
I've been making my point. Now, I grant you this is an exaggeration, but even so, the poor woman wanted a bloke, and what she got was Jeremy.
Mr. Prentice, can I show you something?
It's not your stomach, is it?
No, listen. My name is Arthur. I'm an estate agent. You know, estate agents have feelings too.
Not now, Clive.
Archie, spit it out, man.
The thing is, there's a problem.
Oh, good.
It isn't good, Charles.
It is good if it means more work for Prentice McCabe.
It means that's all right. Look, basically, the latest exam results are about to come out. You know, GCSEs.
Oh, bad, are they? Divide education, education, education by lack of investment and express your answer as a fraction of an election promise.
Well, they're not actually bad, but there is a particular interpretation which could be put on them and which would be unhelpful.
And so you want Prentice McCabe to doctor the story, suggest the people who compile the statistics have ruined their brains by centuries of inbreeding, confuse the issue, dispute the facts, filth, mayhem and malicious misrepresentation.
Exactly.
So what exactly is this misrepresentation you're so anxious to avoid?
Basically, girls have done much better than boys. Frankly, Charles, we just can't have any more of these headlines. Are English boys the thickest creatures on the planet? I want it dealt with.
Morning, Clive. Good grief. What happened to you?
I had a slight disagreement with my fiancée.
Oh, dear.
I've just spent the night on a park bench in Hoxton.
My dear chap, why didn't you give me a ring?
I did. There was no answer.
Oh, yes. Somebody did ring. I got all the way to the phone, then I suddenly realised I couldn't be asked. Oh, dear. Park bench in Hoxton. Very fashionable area, Hoxton, of course.
There's nothing fashionable about where I slept.
Oh, I don't know. In today's property market, a park bench in Hoxton, probably about £500,000. Ah, Charles.
Oh, good Lord, does nothing happen in this office until I arrive? Estate agents beckon, young Clive. They're not paying us for idle chitter-chatter.
Yes, Charles.
I assume you're not expecting to meet any important clients this morning. You look a shambles.
Sorry, I had a bad night.
Your night is not the concern of this office. This is a place of work. In matters sartorial, you follow the example set by me. On no account, follow the example set by Martin. Martin, as he may possibly have told you, has a first-class mind that apparently entitles him to look like a fourth-class tramp.
It won't happen again, and may I say...
Cut.
Right.
Bit harsh, Charles.
You know, I come in the morning, I look at him, I look at you, and I feel like opening the window and shouting, I'm not mad, I am the warden.
Charles. I'm pretty quick on the uptake about these things. You're not at your happiest.
I was here until 10 o'clock last night for the benefit of the wretched Jeremy. How the hell do you do an image relaunch of half the population of the country?
Oh, Project Men, yes. You said you wanted a challenge.
And I've got one.
No ideas.
Well, how does this grab you? Stand by your man.
And a picture of a man. Well, it has a certain simplicity, Charles. It simply doesn't say anything at all.
But wait. Now, this one.
Clothes stand by your man, and a picture of a clothes stand.
You see, today's man does the ironing. It's subliminal.
Yes. I knew there was a word I was groping for.
And this one?
Cake stand by your man.
Yes, see, today's man does the cooking.
It's subliminal.
Exactly, and this one?
Book stand by your man.
Yes, today's man reads a story to the children. Now, I've done an entire set.
Yes, I think I've got the picture, actually, Charles.
So, what do you think?
Well, how can I put this? It's rubbish. And you were here till 10 o'clock drawing pictures of hat stand. Oh, dear, 10 o'clock. Wash stand by your man and a picture of fairy liquid. What a striver you are, Charles. How strive-worthy of you.
Oh, well, of course, you have something so much better to suggest.
I have not. I never wanted us to take this commission in the first place. I wanted to stick to good old politics. Prentice McCabe, our porkies are the best. You've landed with this one, old chap.
Well, the only other one I've got is this. Men. They're useless in school. They're useless in bed. They're thick round the stomach and thicker in the head. There's nothing more phony than testosterone.
Well, I score that rather more highly for pizzazz. If I were going to cavil, it does slightly say the exact opposite of what it's supposed to be saying.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Charles, you're getting that wheeze look.
The reverse message wheeze.
What?
The reverse message wheeze followed by the backlash effect.
You wouldn't like to canter through this a bit slowly, would you?
We'll give men such a slagging, such a monumental wellying, that people will stop in their tracks and say, hold on, They're not so bad as all that. Women will write to newspapers saying, my husband's a man, well, more or less, and he's nothing like as awful as this campaign is suggesting.
Well, it's a high-risk strategy, Charles.
And why is Prentice McCabe number one?
Well, we've taken some pretty big risks in our time.
Precisely. Now let's get rid of this detritus. I want an all-media campaign. Do you think it would help to put Jeremy on television?
Oh, I don't think he's up to a reverse message. I think people would look at him and say, no, I was right the first time, he's a prat.
Possibly. All right, we'll start with a poster campaign. Men, they're crap.
Charles, you've done the exact opposite of what I asked.
Trust me, Archie.
But I have just driven past a poster saying, boys, wise up, you boneheaded bozos.
And what did you think?
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, our figures don't say that every boy in the country is a boneheaded bozo.
Thank you, Archie. You have just grasped the strategy.
No, I haven't actually, Charles, and neither has the PM. He's been up half the night. The boy in that poster looks exactly like Ewan. He was very upset.
Have I ever let you down?
Well, I suppose not.
Your affairs are in the hands of a master strategist.
Yes, I suppose so. There's an awful lot of anti-men propaganda in the papers of late, isn't there?
Is there? Yeah, I couldn't really say. I hadn't noticed.
My wife keeps quoting the Daily Mail at me.
Well, no wonder you're looking so peaky.
She keeps quoting it with warm approval. Charles, we're not just business partners, are we?
In what sense?
We've worked a few dodges, been in some tight spots. We've been through a lot together. After all this time, you could say we're friends.
Yes, I could say it. How much are we talking?
Charles, I don't have much of a life.
Good heavens, is that the time?
I get pushed around by Downing Street. If anything goes right, his Lord and Master takes the credit. If anything goes wrong, he tries blaming Stephen Byers. And if that doesn't work, he blames me. I get home hardly ever before midnight, and what do I get?
Keep it clean.
Oh, no, there's none of that. There's been none of that for some time, actually. It's a lonely life, being a Downing Street spin doctor.
Well, look, speaking as a friend...
Yes?
Grow up, belt up, and shut up.
Well, it's easy for you, isn't it? You're everything I'm not.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. My dear Martin, of course it's been a success. There's been a fourfold increase in applications to join Jeremy's men's pressure group.
Well, I suppose I'm pleased to hear it. You don't think the phrase Jeremy's men's pressure group is a bit cumbersome, do you?
Well, not only do I think so, the client thinks so. That's the next part of the commission, to think of a name. Short, snappy, to the point.
Oh, what have you got so far? Balls, the British Association of Lovable Lads.
Just a first effort, Martin.
Where the trousers make a difference, join balls.
It was my first attempt.
And I take it this is your second. Glands Penis, the General Association for the Support of the Priapically Endowed in Society. Title acronymically challenged, don't you think?
I admit I'm not quite there yet.
You're not actually at the starting line yet, are you?
Oh, and you, I suppose, will come up with a perfect name in two shakes of a lamb's naughty bits.
Well, a glass of claret, a civilized cigar, and I will undertake to solve your problem for you. You know, it's remarkable, isn't it, how claret clarifies the mind. I remember when I was doing my philosophy finals.
Oh, these little things are sent to try us, and the little things are called Martin.
I had opted to do a Latin paper, just a bit of extra exercise for the mind. It was the last exam, didn't really matter very much. Can I borrow your pen?
Yes. Oh, God.
Anyway, I went out and had seven glasses of claret, and I got in the exam room, and the chap says, turn over the paper. It said, unseen translation. I was so off my face, I could see two of them.
And I got a dazzling first.
And I got a dazzling first. Remarkable, really. There. Of course, it's only my first effort.
Menace? What?
Menace. Well, it's a pressure group. It exists to harry and push and influence opinion formers, so it's a menace. Its members are men, and men are ace. Menace. What do you think?
Damn! God!
Well, that's all right. Don't use it if you don't want to. I quite like Glan's penis.
Charles, there's somebody to see you. He says it's urgent.
A client?
He says his name is Archie.
Archie? What? Archie never comes to this office.
Clive, this isn't another of your cock-ups, is it? Archie hasn't been to this office in all the years we've worked with him. As far as he's concerned, Prentice McCabe doesn't officially exist.
He seems rather upset, actually.
All right, well, we better have him in.
Okay, and when you've got a minute, can I show you my latest idea for the estate agents? It's based on your reverse message strategy.
Why don't estate agents just... Yes, well, you certainly seem to grasp the principle. Archie, do come in.
Charles.
The government has fallen.
Charles.
John Prescott has nutted the Pope.
Charles, my wife has left me.
Oh, is that all?
Have a glass of claret.
Become a member of Menace.
Oh, God.
There's nothing like male friendship, is there?
We were there when he needed us.
Of course we were. What are chaps for?
Charles, you didn't actually let him bed down in the office, did you?
Don't feel ridiculous. As soon as he stopped his ridiculous blubbering, I told him to belt up and find a hotel. I didn't splash out on offices in Mayfair in order to have them knee-deep in Archie's. Well, you could always put him up in your place.
Well, I nearly did. But then I didn't. Still, we were there. That's what matters.
Exactly. And, I mean, one doesn't wish to be unfeeling, but Prentice McCabe has come out of it rather well.
You got him to join Menace.
I did rather better than that, even. I told him not to get mad, but to get even.
In what sense?
Well, a man who has just been thrown out by his wife is remarkably amenable to the idea of a minister for men.
You actually sold that piece of nonsense to the government?
I sold it to Archie, certainly. It goes to the PM in the morning.
Charles!
Oh, Jeremy, do join us.
Charles, applications to become a member of Menace, they're going through the roof.
Yes, yes, of course they are.
Now, the amazing thing is, we're getting applications from women. You know, I really object to all these attacks on men. My husband isn't that bad. It's just like you said.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Downing Street is considering a ministry for men, and it's all down to you.
Yes, yes, yes.
How can I thank you?
Yeah, well, you can write me an extremely large check.
The Minister for Men, speaking in the Commons yesterday, won loud approval from MPs, blah, blah, blah.
And all should be well, and all should be well, and all manner of things should be well.
Charles, an email's just come from Archie.
Yeah, what does he need? A toothbrush, a tickly kiss, and a goodnight cuddle?
Well, it says, Charles, a word, and the word is catastrophe.
And all shall be well?
No, it's probably nothing.
Oh, dear, and all manner of things shall be well, well, well.
But, Martin, I have told you before about this habit of enjoying disaster. Not that it is a disaster. Probably nothing.
It's a disaster.
Nonsense, nonsense. I'm sure whatever it is, it's all in a day's work for Prentice McCabe. Now, what's the problem?
The Minister for Men.
Well, one of my finer creations, I like to think. What about the Minister for Men?
He's moved in with my wife, the bastard.
That's the one you're still married to?
Well, of course we're still married. I was hoping we were on the brink of giving it another go, making a fresh start. We had a serious talk. I promised faithfully that I was going to stop being a feeble, wimpy yes-man, and I wasn't going to be miserable all the time.
You politicians just love making promises, don't you?
Now I'm the most miserable I've ever been in my life.
Archie!
Yes, yes, I know. No embarrassing displays of emotion. You're quite right. Anyway, she won't find me a pathetic wimp this time.
The important thing is to keep this out of the papers.
Au contraire.
What?
I've been doing French evening classes as an antidote to loneliness.
If you try that accent in Paris, you'll find whole new vistas of solitude opening up.
Never mind my French evening classes. They're not germane.
No, quite.
The point is that I'm going to see that swine on every newsstand in Britain. I'm going to give him such a shafting, it'll break the world shafting record. I'm going to carry on right up his Khyber. I'm going to bring his grey hairs in sorrow to the front of the Daily Mail.
Ah, monsieur, quelle finesse.
What?
No, forget it. Ça ne fait rien.
What?
Archie, you and I are both loyal servants of this government. Its interests are our interests.
Up to a point.
No, not up to a point.
We are talking love, marriage, things that are more important than spin headlines and the government's wretched image.
You and me, those are the most important things on earth. The question is this. If the newly appointed Minister for Men is caught in grotesque flagrante all over the tabloids, would that be helpful?
I don't care.
Yes, you do. Ask yourself this. Do you like working at Downing Street or do you not?
No, Charles. I'll tell you what the question is here. Am I a useless, subservient, ineffectual wimp? Or am I a man?
You know, I'm not the kind of chap who says I told you so.
You are and don't.
But I do think this is going to set back the entire concept of a minister for men. The minister for moving in with other people's wives. It's not helpful.
Good of you to point that out, Martin. Have you ever considered a career in government media relations?
And I didn't wish to add to your troubles in any way, but have you heard the news about Menace?
I'm not going to like this, am I?
Menace has been wound up.
But it's been going down a storm. Subscriptions were rolling in.
Yes, unfortunately, Jeremy has been rolling out of almost every pub in London, apparently. He should have been using the subscriptions for campaigns, administration, and so on. Unfortunately, he's been using them to fuel his habit of consuming fuel.
Oh, hell. And the papers?
Oh, yes, it'll be all over the tabloids tomorrow's. I did say...
Martin, if I have to hear one more of the things that you did say...
I'm sorry, but I did. The papers will be interesting tomorrow, won't they? They'll do wonders for men's image. The chaps are promiscuous, feckless, incompetent and drunk. There's a Jeremy who can't keep out of the pub and a minister who can't keep it in his interest.
Yes, yes.
Of course, if you'd like the assistance of a first-class mind...
I shall not be requiring your assistance. Crisis management is my middle name.
Oh, yes, your middle name would be double-barreled, wouldn't it? How very strive-worthy of you.
Ah, here you are, Martin. Good morning. Good morning indeed.
So, how did you do it? I opened the papers expecting Minister for Bonking scandal, and there's nothing.
I had a meeting with Archie. I put it to him that as far as Downing Street was concerned, the Minister for Men had been his idea.
Ah.
And if the Minister were publicly discredited, his own career prospects would be far from favourable.
Good point.
I also asked him whether what is essentially a private and most hurtful humiliation would be altogether pleasant for him if it popped up in the press. He was quick to take my point.
Excellent.
I then had a meeting with the Minister for Men. Without telling him of Archie's change of heart, I threatened him with immediate exposure. I hinted that there were photographs.
Of the grotesque flagrante.
And that if he glanced at our best-selling tabloid, it would not be so much a case of the sun shining out of his bottom as...
Very good.
He was... quick to take my point. He's to resign on health grounds. And no more naughty, nookie nonsense with Mrs. Archie.
And Archie himself?
Is back where he belongs.
And his wife?
Was quick to take his point.
So, no more Minister for Men.
On the contrary. There is to be a new Minister for Men. Claire Short.
Masterly. I could hardly have done better myself. What about Jeremy the Menace?
Well, Jeremy's story is to appear in tomorrow's edition of The Sun, My Battle with the Bottle, you know, the sort of thing. He's being paid an extremely generous sum of money, almost enough to pay our invoice.
And the pressure group?
The story will run concurrently with Jeremy's confessions, revealing that a staggering 70% of the membership are Manchester United supporters. That ought to turn public opinion against them, don't you think? I think the group will be stone dead within a month.
Charles, a bravura performance, and you did it without once consulting me.
I wavered. I nearly did seek your help, you know. Then I thought, am I a wimp or am I a man?
What a damn silly question.
You've been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird, with Tony Gardner, Tom George, James Vaughan and Beth Chalmers. The music was by Matthew Scott. The producer was Dawn Ellis.